Hey, this is Mateo Lane.
I'm Emma Willman.
And this is Inside the Closet.
Inside the Closet.
Okay, welcome back to another episode of Inside the Closet with Mateo and Emma. We have a special guest here today.
Woo-woo!
This is my friend Steve Matos.
Nice to meet you, Steve. Thank Hello. You for coming on the show.
Welcome,
you
know, thank you.
My Chicago accent would have said Matos.
Yeah, it's Matos. You got it right. Like, yeah. Matos. Yeah.
Do you know what Mato means in Italian?
No, but I believe in Portuguese it means like woods or the forest. Mm.
Mato in Italian means crazy.
What?
Really?
Qualcuno matto.
And like, you've never told him that before?
Well, because matos is different.
They don't right.
say, I'm crazies.
Yeah, he's crazies.
You know what? To be fair, it would be Mati is plural.
I think it's a very cute name. Mati is cute.
That is.
Mati, like Muti, the tomato sauce, which is so good. Anyways, all right, let me read your, can I read your intro?
Do
please.
It. Do it.
Okay, Steve Matos, a.k.a. Sacred Steve, is a gay men's life coach, healer, songwriter, and lover of life. Born and raised in New York City, Steve has a passion and purpose for helping others. Steve uses his experience and knowledge as a tool in helping and guiding other gay men out of the darkness of self-hate and into the world of self-love.
Damn.
Beautiful. Welcome.
Thank you. I wrote that.
Good for you. Isn't it weird to write about yourself in third person sometimes?
Yeah, I mean, like, I talk to myself, so it's not sure. that weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Whenever I do a bio, I think I ended up hiring someone because I was like, I can't.
If someone was like, write a bio about yourself, Mateo, I would write faggot.
I'd just be like, ugh.
He said that to me yesterday. We were talking about sexuality. And I was like, you know what? I don't think there's gay, straight, but it's just what you like.
Mm.
And Mateo's like, I'm 100% faggot.
Fair.
I mean, as a joke. I don't know.
I get it. It's a spectrum, but you're somewhere on the spectrum, which is...
If I'm somewhere on the spectrum, I'm like, it's like the pendulum has... it.
Same.
It's real.
Same. Like, hard way. Right, hard left.
Yeah.
Now, how did you guys meet?
We met years ago.
Yeah, we met on IG.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Instagram.
We became IG friends.
X-Men.
Like 5 years ago, 10 years ago.
No, longer than that. You were living in...
It was probably like 5 years ago. Mm. It was probably like 2017, 2016. It might be like 2016. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. I think it was even maybe earlier because I remember I was still co-headlining with Lisa Traeger, which is so, that was so long ago. We were doing this like really shitty tour together. And I remember we were both doing shows somewhere in California, I think, because we went to a pizzeria beforehand. But anyway, I remember talking to you then, and then because I was like, "Oh, I need massages," and Steve's like, "Oh, I give good massages," and you do. It's always like such an experience.
So
I always feel healed afterwards.
Did you know that he gave massages when you said that?
Yeah, because I mentioned to something to you like everything hurts, and you were like, "I'll come over. I'll take care of you."
Mm. Yeah. Where I was low key hitting on him.
Right.
But
yeah,
you know, I'm happy where we're at.
Totally.
Same.
Absolutely. Same. That's a good way to hit on someone. I used to do that in college, too. I would do massages. Not trained. I would just be like, oh, you got tension? I read about how to get tension out of your fucking
I don't know how asshole. To get massages. I can't use that as a flirting excuse.
I did it in college. Like, but so how did you get into doing, where'd you grow up? How'd you get into massage?
I back in 2006, I went to massage school because I was trying to pursue a acting career, right?
Totally.
And my agent was like, what are you going to do in the meantime? Like, you know, how are you going to make like money in between gigs?
That's
like,
exactly what you want your fucking agent to say to you too. They're like, so what are you going to do professionally? You're like, acting, dip fuck? Yeah. Like, that's what I'm hoping for. Like, that's a lot. You're like,
if
I mean,
you
I get
would do
it.
Your job, I
right,
can do
totally.
Mine.
You're like, I was really hoping to like get some work through literally you. That's literally, but I mean also.
No, it is insulting.
It's smart for them to say that too because
totally.
It's like, it's real.
Yeah.
And it's also a way to make sure your client doesn't go crazy because they are not desperate and taking stuff, but that is kind of also like jarring to hear from the agent.
So I took just a skill that I have naturally for just being like really good with my hands as far as touch wise.
Sure.
And like, well, let me get like a license so I can make some bucks, you know?
Totally.
You used to work at a very popular gym here doing massages.
Yeah. I used to work at Equinox.
Oh, I used to be a member. I stopped going. I canceled my membership. It's too expensive.
I'm still going.
Good. Well, actually, it was that I started. There's this woman, Stacia Patwell, does this program, School of Thought. And it's like, I just like her message so much that I just switched over to that. But so you were doing massage. They do massages at Equinox?
Yeah.
They have like a spa. Well, at all of them or some of them?
Not all of them. Whichever one has a working spa now.
Right.
You know, because the one I was at, their spas become their storage.
shit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be so intimidating to be, I mean, we'll get to everything else that you do that's actually good, but I do have a question about when you have to massage someone that you're like, you don't want to touch everybody.
Amen.
Listen, man, someone ordered a deep tissue and homeboy came in so sweaty from his fucking yoga class.
Rude.
This was
rude.
His deep tissue. For the people at home who can't see, I'm touching his thigh with a finger.
That's rude. You gotta, it's like, you get, fuck, wash off. Like, that's rude.
Yeah, anytime I get a massage, I'm like, well, I'm gonna completely shower.
Absolutely.
And be ready to go.
100%.
Because it's like, someone's gonna be touching me. I should be, well, my feet shouldn't smell. You know, my skin should be, I should have lotion. You
totally.
Know what I'm saying?
I don't mind you, like, you don't have to be squeaky. I just, I'd rather you not be pungent.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know.
So what are some do's and don'ts if you're going to get a massage? What are some do's and don'ts of people who are coming to get a massage?
Listen, just don't automatically expect that people are going to, your massage therapist is going to fucking bang. Or fuck.
Oh,
they're
shit.
Not, you know, like. We're in that work, and yeah, it comes across our table.
Interesting. How? What's the percentage of people that are assuming that?
Well, the people who just, like, remove their blanket, you
wow.
know.
Wow. I'm actually really surprised by that.
Who touch you, you know, so.
They touch you?
So, oh, yeah, they'll grab you. They'll grab, like, the bottom of your ankle because that's what's in reach for them.
I will.
I've actually done that before, but I'll do it if it's, like, something's really tense and it hurts. I'll kind of, like.
Me?
That's cool.
Didn't I do that yesterday?
That's
I was like,
cool.
Duh, wait.
Yeah, that's cool. That's normal. You
right.
Know, right. But, like, there's different kinds
totally.
Of touch. You can, and
you know when you're doing it, like, 100%. Yeah. That's why when people are like, oh, I don't know how to, like, not be creepy now. And it's like, you know.
Yeah.
You can give there's giving a hug and there's giving a creepy hug and you know the difference. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Damn, so large percentage of them, and then how do you like diffuse that?
I mean, you either like it or you don't.
Right.
You either go with it or you don't.
Right.
And you kind of just, I'm like, can you stop moving your ass?
You say that?
I've had to say
you're
that.
You're so from Brooklyn. Hey, stop moving your ass.
You know, they want to pop the pussy.
Sure, right, yeah.
You know?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's a lot of confidence. You know what I mean? Like, remember those rumors about John Travolta? He would go to his massage therapist and it was like ass up and stuff. Like, that's
good for him.
So much confidence, though. Like, I'm so fear-based.
It's rude to them. It has to be, anything goes if it's worked out beforehand between consenting adults. Like, know what type of place you're going to. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Like,
but what if you get guys who just get hard because they're being rubbed down and you're laying on your stomach and it's like, sometimes you get a chub.
Yeah, which is cool. You know, it's fine. You know, that's a natural reaction, a chemical reaction, mm-hmm. right? It's just that there's guys who then, they're getting a boner and then they want you to do something about
right.
it.
Right, mm-hmm. It's the expectation.
Yeah.
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 There was a massage parlor in Brooklyn that was like, people were like, this is a place where people go for sexual stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I went to it because people were like, they weren't sure. And I went and the person actually did start like touching me in a way where I was like, oh, they're about to do. So I was like trying to, we didn't speak each other's language. I was like communicated like, oh no, just massage. And they were like, oh, okay. But I wasn't surprised by it. And I knew going in there. So I couldn't imagine expecting that when you didn't know going in.
I guess I've never had that
it was really
happen, but I only get massages from you. Mm-hmm. So
it was a rare, I mean, someone had said, they're like, just a heads up, like this place is rumored for that. And I was like, I think I'm probably exempt. One time I went to a one that was obviously a sex hookup one, but I didn't clock it until I was leaving. It was said it was a men's massage room in Hell's Kitchen. And my back was killing me. And it was like 1 p.m. on a Tuesday. And I was leaving an audition or something that was like really stressed me out. I felt shitty about it. And I was like, I know it's a men's massage place. Can I just get a massage? And they looked at me like, they were like, what?
Damn.
And then they're like, okay. And then they brought in this like super fruity little guy. And he was like, okay, come back here. Because probably legally they couldn't turn me away. And then he was like kind of like touching me. And I remember looking around. It was like the bed. It was like a silk on the table. And like, I was like, what the fuck? So like, it was supposed to be 45 minutes. I was like, half hour's good. I'll pay you the same. And when I left, they were all like, bye. Like, they're probably still talking shit about
they're like,
it.
What was that?
What was that?
This lesbian's lost her mind.
Right, like, I was like, I just wanted a massage. But I'm sorry that happened.
How did you go from massage to a life coach? Like, how did you move yourself in that direction where you're like, I'm going to help not just people, but also gay people and their confidence? And because we've had long talks about that where it's like, body dysmorphia and confidence and dating and unpacking a lot of trauma from your childhood?
Yeah. Yeah. Great question. Thank you. So
you're welcome.
So I hired a life coach just for myself back in like 2018 because a bitch was in pain and needed help.
Sure. And you wanted to do the life coach route over therapy?
I didn't want to do therapy because it's too clinical. I needed somebody who's like going to get real and not
practical.
Try to help me through what they learned in a textbook, but what they learned through their own discovery of personal development in their motherfucking life. Mm-hmm. So I hired one and we were working together and we did amazing work together. And she was like, listen, Steve, you know, I know you don't want to just do massage forever. You can help people in much greater ways than just with their physical body. You can help people with their emotions, with their trauma, with their fears and everything, with their life internally because of what you've been doing so well. I was like, you know, in my early 20s, when I first discovered what a life coach was, I always told myself, I could do that shit, man. I could do that. I'll be great at that. So when the pandemic hit and we ain't got nowhere to go and I wasn't planning on going back to Equinox.
Sure, and talk about when people need a life coach.
Yeah, that was my opportunity to say, let me start offering services, you know? And life coaching is not a field where it's required for you to be licensed or certified. Mm. So you can get a certification, but you don't really need it because I've taken a certification and let me tell you, fucking John down the block can pass that shit. Mm. So it's really about like what you've been through. You know, that really determines how effective you can be. So I switched up my whole Instagram and I started putting out content that was more about like self-awareness and, you know, self-love and like, you know, all this shit that is content to establish me as somebody who knows what he's talking about.
Sure.
So then I can then offer the services. So then people can sign up. And then I've been doing that since June 2020.
Isn't that great? It's that aspirational attraction too. Because it's like you're putting that out there and then those people that need that or want that or have that are going to start gravitating towards that.
Exactly.
How was your first life coaching client? Were you like, oh my God?
Dude, when he said yes, I was like, what?
What? Yeah. You hang up the phone.
It was like us when we got our first show.
Totally.
Like, we'll book you. Why?
What? Get the fuck out of here. This asshole.
Fucking idiot. I got nothing up here.
Totally.
I was like, okay, now I don't know what to do.
Totally. 100%. 100%. Isn't that life?
Totally. But it turned out really great. He's one of my good friends. He actually just texted me. He's like, are you okay? I hear everybody. Everybody got shot in New York City.
I know. I texted you and a couple other New Yorkers. I was like, I immediately texted Marie Faustin. And Chrissy Cello was so sweet. She texted me and I was.
Because it's happening in Brooklyn. So this morning I was like making coffee and then we got a text from the producer that was like, I'm not gonna be in the studio today. There was a shooting. And I was like, what?
It didn't occur to me yet.
I was like calibrating it and then there's a shooting and the shooter is at large.
Shit.
Yeah, the shooter's still at large.
You know, the life and times.
Not to like completely derail from your beautiful
life.
Now
that's somebody who needs a life coach.
He's a fucking life coach. Okay. I hired a life coach before. She was great. It was really, really powerful. It was a media. She worked with like people in media. And
oh, cool.
Yeah, she was awesome. It was Stephanie something. This is like years and years and years. Just...
Stephanie Germanata. Now she goes by Lady Gaga.
Could you imagine?
Oh, get the fuck out.
That was my life coach. I forget who, but it was a media. It was a life coach specific for people in like that worked in like media and entertainment. And I ended up going to grad school, but I remember seeing her before I went because I was like just feeling really lost. And it was totally different from a therapist.
Oh, yeah.
Totally different. Like, and those two things could work very complementary together.
Yes, true.
But it was like, it was really helpful.
And speaking of life, I'm sort of fascinated by real New Yorkers.
Okay.
You know, I love that.
So am I.
Love that you grew up in, sorry, my poster. I love that you grew up in, where in Brooklyn did you grow up?
East New York.
Is that a neighborhood in Brooklyn?
That's a neighborhood.
I know
Brooklyn.
Nothing of Brooklyn.
Me
I know
neither.
Like,
I was like, yes.
East New York, but where, Steve?
Right.
That East New York.
Right.
What was it like growing up in Brooklyn in the 90s?
Oh, baby, come on. It's like, it's actually going back to that now, the way
really?
It was. Dude, I remember me, my siblings, and my cousins.
I want to talk to you about cousins, too, because we agree.
Me, my siblings, and my cousins, we were between the ages of probably like I guess, 8 to 14.
Yeah.
So everybody, it was six of us.
Big family?
We shut off the lights, all got underneath the covers and looked out the window as this hooker gave some guy a head across the street in the bushes.
Yes.
And we were just like, wow.
Life.
You know?
Wow.
We were kids. Like, you know, it's just like,
I would have loved
learning.
To watch that.
It was
I love
just
that.
So educational.
I think that's great.
Yeah. And we weren't scared. You know,
was
we were
he
just
looking
there
around?
Nah, he was just staring at that, you like, know, that girl doing her job.
Good for her.
Yeah, I was like, wow,
that's
man.
Great. How long did it take?
We were probably there about a good 20 minutes.
Good for him. Or, I mean, that sucks for her, though. I mean,
no,
but, yeah.
I was like, you want it to be quick.
No, absolutely.
For her.
I'm trying to get his money. Cause
like, let's go, buddy.
I wonder if they pay by the minute or they pay. Probably it's a set fee, I would imagine.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's just one story of hooker that I've right. had growing up in Brooklyn. I had another one where... Well, in our area, because we lived in an industrial area. So across the street from us were like factories as well. And then blocks from us were factories. We were on a block with a few houses, you know? So in these secluded areas,
sure.
the hookers would use the blocks to walk.
Right.
We had this one hooker.
And so would you like recognize them? Like, because they'd be on your block, so you'd know them.
This was her office.
Sure.
So she also, and she knows who she works with. So right. she would see me come home every day. I was 14 years old. Mm. And she was like, how old are you? And I'm like, 14. And I'm like, and she's like, you are so damn cute. And I'm like, she's watching me go home and I'm terrified. Shoot forward 10 years. She still works there.
Wow.
And I was watching.
Damn.
I was helping my dad wash the car. In the front of the house. It was summertime. I was wearing my boxers, but that's a mistake when you work with, you know, when you live around hookers.
Wow, I would think they would be like getting enough of it, but they're trying to suss up more. I guess they're trying to suss up more business.
Yeah, man, she's a natural.
Right.
And she came up to me and she was just like, "You have always been a dime." And
I'm my God.
And I'm just like,
I would be so flattered.
Thanks, babe. You know, and then she came up to my dad and he had like 2 inches from his face and she's like, "I just want to touch you." And he's like, "Baby, I'm married."
Good for him. Good for him. Good for him.
Setting a good example.
Yeah, good for him.
And then she walked away. He's like, "Yo, I thought she was about to grab my dick." I'm like, "Damn, man, she could have. She could have."
And she's been at that same... I mean, that's kind of good to hear. You know what I mean?
That she's okay.
Yeah.
She's building that 401k, man.
Good. Wow. Good for her.
Dude, would it usually be them out there working for themselves or would they have... What's the right word? Is a pimp? What is the right word? Is that an okay to say pimp?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't even know what word
something
to
about
say.
It doesn't feel
sex
quite
worker
right.
who works for
sex workers.
I don't know. Yeah,
like controversially appointed employer. Sometimes
I've never seen like a manager.
Yeah,
kind of man.
I mean, that's a better. Yeah.
I used to. So in Chicago, when I lived with my friend Sophia and Anna East, basically, we lived on a. They lived. They had the house, right? It was like the first group of our friends from high school to get like a house. So we were 18 and it was Belmont and Pulaski, which I'm sure is completely different now. But we used to also see sex workers on the street walking up and down all the time. It was like we would drive by. And I remember seeing that. It's like you didn't even think twice about it. And so, oh my God, if I called Sophia now, she would be so funny. But yeah, I used to see the same thing. Used to see.
I did not see that. I'm from really rural Maine. We did not see that at all.
What did you see?
Trees in the Olive
I swear
garden.
To God, black bears.
Okay.
There used to be black. So
at the Eagle,
it would be what's the Eagle? Oh, hey, that's a gay bar. Yeah. That's it's a black. There's like Maine black. It's just like in the woods. So we'd see like Maine black bears, deer, woods. We'd see a lot of woods. I mean, I'm sure there was probably sex work happening, but it would just be like down a long driveway. And that's why it's like it's people are getting arrested at higher rates in the city because it's like they can drive around and see where the people are at versus like going down a driveway. You know what I'm saying?
What was Manhattan like when you would come into Manhattan as a kid?
I was taking the train since I was in the fifth grade by myself.
So funny.
There's a documentary on Times Square there was like a famous killer that was like in Times Square, like killing people, but they talk about how like Times Square like changed where it was like it went from being like all like sex stuff.
Right. And then Giuliani turned it into Disney World.
Right. Basically, that's what the documentary is about. So that would have been like when you were like 10?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Manhattan was... It was like what the movies would show you. Mm. Like, you know, like graffiti the fuck up.
Right.
You know, I remember being on the subway when it was just like... It was like this. It was like a museum because it was just so artistic and colorful with all these graffiti, and it was just. It was not as like
suburban.
No, it was people were just a little bit not as fucking uptight as they are now.
Oh, interesting.
It was still very much like, hey, fuck you, I'm walking here. It was still that, but it was right. Like, I don't know. There was kind of like a
New York
unity with that.
Right, because also
time.
When someone does that now, someone could be like, hey, that was mean. And then you're like, all right, well, either we all have to be in on this or not.
Exactly.
Otherwise, you're fucking up the vibe.
Exactly.
Yeah. My favorite New York thing ever heard when I, because, you know, even in Chicago, if it's a big city, there's still like this Midwesternness to it.
Sure.
So I remember when I moved to New York, I moved to the Village. I was living in that apartment with the bathtub in the kitchen. And I had my window open. It was like a nice summer night. I was just drawing. And it was like late, maybe like 10 o'clock. And someone's hammering. And I just hear a window open. And someone goes, hey, Home Depot, shut the fuck up.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, that is so New York. Like,
totally.
He gives them a name.
Right.
Right? Like, that's very New York. Like, right. Yeah. Not like, excuse me, sir, working. It's like,
so
what do you think? You're fucking Home
totally.
Depot?
Totally.
Shut the fuck up.
Totally.
It's 10 o'clock. We're sleeping, you ass. I was like,
totally.
That is so New York. I'll
so
never
true.
Forget. Hey, Home Depot,
so
shut
true.
The fuck up.
Coming to America, when he was just like singing, to be in love, you
yep.
know? And they're like, why don't you shut the... That's so New York.
So did you see coming to like the most that. Recent Coming to America? I haven't seen it.
I did.
How was it?
It's cool.
Okay.
It's cool. I like that he gave a lot of people work.
Yes, that's true.
I love that.
That's true.
It's usually not a great review of a film.
Totally, but I feel you.
When you're happy,
I
people got
ya.
Paid.
You know, I'm just happy people are out here living, you know, working.
You know,
yeah,
sense,
I get
man.
That.
I want to see people survive.
That
yeah.
sounds like a true artist, too. You're like, you know, I'm just
you know,
happy.
I'm happy that people got work.
People are getting cast and things. They're out there.
You got booked.
Right.
Yes.
Yes, good for you. When did you come out? Or when did you start working primarily with gay men? Whatever your sexuality is.
Oh, yeah. I came out when I was 16 as gay. Yes.
Did you know other gay people?
Oh, I went to LaGuardia High School. Of course I did.
There's a comedian named Ricky Velez who went there. I'm sure there's tons.
Ricky Velez went to the. Went
yeah,
there?
I was just
really?
Listening.
I knew he went to a performing arts school.
Is it the same
school.
One as Frank Sinatra?
If Frank. Possibly. I think he might have.
And he talked about how. Tony Bennett would speak there sometimes.
Possibly. Tons of artists went
yes.
there. Tons of celebrities.
I never listened to podcasts and I just started. Yeah. So now there's just like, my brain is like smushed with all these interviews
yeah.
I've listened to. So, but yes, I heard that recently. So you went to school there. So you knew other gay people.
I knew other gay people. So
it's a great
I was
school.
Inspired to,
sure.
to come out. I was definitely inspired to come out.
What a great way to come out.
What'd your family say?
I was hooking up in high school in the boys' bathroom.
You better work.
I sure was.
With straight guys? Straight.
Nah, the boys who wanted the dick.
Yeah. Well, you went to an art school, never mind.
And it's like a really prestigious art school. I think isn't there's
yeah,
two
you gotta
other
you have to you
something?
Have to audition to
right.
get in. I mean you gotta have good grades. It's one of the specialized high schools
right.
of New York City.
Is there another one that's an art one?
There are two other art ones. They're not the specialized ones. It's Professional Performing Arts High School and Talent Unlimited.
Okay.
That's how you know you're New yeah. York, when they have a high school for actors.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, I mean,
it's really cool.
I wish to God I had that.
Would you have gone?
Oh my God, you would have loved it there.
Yeah, I would have gone. I would have loved it.
Would've
I would have been better than calling faggot every day in Chicago. I quit show choir because it was so relentless.
Mm.
But you know what? Show choir, they were insufferable.
True. Dodged a bullet.
I kind of did.
Dodged a bullet. So you were hooking up in the bathroom, and then did you have a boyfriend?
I didn't. I had boyfriends.
Good for you.
I was just going to say, did you mean that plural or singular? Because so far it sounds like plural.
Could you bring a guy to prom?
Nah, I went with a girl and we kissed.
Wow. I went with a guy. We didn't kiss, but I get it.
I wanted to. She had really beautiful lips. And I was also, you know, going through a lot of shit at
of
that
course.
Time. So I felt like pressured by my straight friends to
oh
like,
my God.
Get with a girl.
Totally. I used to get hand jobs.
Oh, man. I'm
you did?
Sorry.
It's okay. Yeah, I didn't. I mean, it was like I didn't want to have sex. I used to give hand jobs and blowjobs, but I had really nice boyfriends. It just wasn't for me.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I had such nice
you
boyfriends.
Did the most
these poor guys.
Because sometimes I'm
and
I'd rather
give a fuck.
Be...
I was stoned out of my mind. I didn't care. I'm sober now. I used to smoke a lot of pot when in high school. Not
yeah,
but yeah, yeah. I used to give like blowjobs, and I would like read about it, like how to give a good blowjob and all that
oh
stuff.
My God.
It was like, oof, no offense. Sorry, no offense.
I was working at Michael's. Just be, I was so untouched. I just oh,
that's
God.
Good because it was like a it's like a weird thing to push yourself. To, I mean, God, could you imagine like having to be in a marriage with someone who your sexuality doesn't line up with? It's rough.
Yo, people do
it's
it.
I know.
People,
I know.
Do it.
My
still,
heart.
And it's 2022.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
Did you see Gerard Carmichael's new special?
No.
No, he's not a comedian.
Okay, it's really he. Well, I don't want to announce this. Well, I don't know if it's a spoiler. he talks about, he comes out in it, but it's like, you know, he's going to come out in it because it's like in the news, but even still, the way he weaves it in, you don't know how it's going to go when he comes out. Like, oh. I was listening to it, like, I think that's why it's getting all the press that it's getting, when
because
you're listening
you listened to it?
Because I think, because when you're listening to him share the coming out story, like, you're like, oh shit, like, you feel like you're coming out.
That
highly
be
recommend.
Truly inspiring for the people who are not out yet.
Oh, that's exactly what I was thinking. It's exactly what I was thinking. And he's a black man. Like, it was very powerful.
Yes, fuck
it was
yeah.
Really, like, I was like listening to it. You know, that's hard to do in a whole new way. And I think
what was
it.
All of y'all's mental state right before you came out? Because I remember like talking about this and Gerard and that sort of feeling and prepping yourself to say it out loud. I remember I couldn't eat for a week.
Really?
I couldn't eat. And I was at my Aunt Cindy's house and she made me, you know, we were having pasta. It's my favorite thing in the world that she makes. And I physically could not eat it. I was so, my stomach hurt so much.
Oh, babe, that's emotions. What about you?
I was really nervous.
I was like, I was gambling. And I was. Right.
I told my mom first and then I told my dad like.
But how did you feel?
Nervous. Definitely
but like
really,
the,
really
the
nervous.
The week before coming up, like what was like your. Like
nervous and excited, but also I knew. I'm really lucky. Both my parents are really liberal. So at least I knew politically they, you know, and someone could be for something politically, but then like not in my house, of course. You see that all the time. But I knew that like one of my mom's really good friends is trans. And when they transitioned, they became a lesbian and became in a lesbian relationship. And it was still one of her best friends. So I knew it was going to be, I wasn't scared that I was getting like cut off or something from her.
What'd your mother say to you?
She was surprised. Which was shocking to me. I was like, what? Like, and my dad was not surprised. He was like, yeah. And then he was just like, you got to be yourself. But I was, so this is all to say, even though I knew my parents were going to be friendly about it, I was scared out of my fucking mind. So,
absolutely.
You know, that's why my heart goes for people where it's like, I mean, I couldn't have had a cushier, like, parents in terms of it. You know what I mean? And I was still really scared.
What did your parents say?
I did the cliche coming out as bisexual first.
Got it.
I did that to my mom only.
Really fair. I think I did maybe to my mom too, maybe.
Say, like, mom, I'm bisexual.
Yes, yes.
And then after a few weeks after that, I was like, that ain't enough.
Right.
And I left out a gay magazine on purpose. Mm. It wasn't porn. It was XY. Do you remember XY?
I will never forget XY. Because my brother had it in his bed.
It was so beautiful.
What did your mom say?
She was just like, you still going to date girls too, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, sure.
Right.
Sure.
Right.
But when I left that magazine out, my dad found it. He called me. I was 16 and hanging out around Macy's with my friends shopping. And he was like, yo, I found a gay magazine in your room. What's up with that? Mm. And I'm like, can I talk to you about it when I get home? Mm-hmm. He's like, all right, sure. So I get to the house and they're there, fucking tension as fuck. And I sit down on the bottom of the steps and he's like, so you're saying, is it yours or somebody else's? Mm. I was like, it's mine. And he's like, are you saying you're
so
gay?
So brave of you, Steve. Mm.
And I'm like, yes, you know? But then it was not like happy after that. It was like kind of shitty, you know? But then they came around, thank goodness.
Thank goodness.
But at first they, you know, they said shit, you know? And made threats, but you know, I know they wouldn't. Then I believed them. Now that I think back with it, I don't think they would ever send me away.
It's but like they, people, you know, freaking out and being scared too, because they're like, like what? Like it's like it's a lot of processing in there that they got going on too. Yeah. I'm guessing. I don't know, because like I think when people they start spiraling.
I think it's fear based. I think also parents too. When you have kids, you want like an easy path.
Totally.
They think that by them trying to pressure you to be straight will make it easier for you. Mm-hmm. When in reality, everything would just be easier if we all just accepted.
Right.
Being gay.
My dad did say to not cut my hair. I remember him saying that. But you know what it is? It's like them like grasping on, even when you come out as bisexual, it's like grasping on to the sense of like heteronormativeness. So it's like them being like, well, can you still date women so you have access to that? Or him like, can you still like look the feminine, like quote unquote, what you're supposed to? You know what I mean? It's like trying to.
You're not going to throw your dresses out, right?
Exactly. Like, can I still compartmentalize this? Were they nice have you introduced them to a boyfriend?
Yes. Mm. Later on, you know, when I from my first boyfriend when I was like 25, I brought him over and they were very, you know, they were very welcoming.
That's great.
Very accepting. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Because listen, I came out of y'all too. Y'all are some homos. All right. I seen what y'all do, what y'all say. I seen what y'all friendships are like.
Right.
Get the fuck out of here. If mom died, you be living with Uncle Mike.
Oh my God.
In a second.
Gay
you guys
people
are
always think everyone's gay.
My dad is so gay. My mom's so fucking butch, yo. She
really
loves flirting with women.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
She is.
Huh.
I get, she's like, listen, if your father dies, I'm not getting with another man.
You're like, oh, I know. My mom
said, that's such like a Latin Italian thing to say. Like, look, when he's dead, like they're already like making plans in their head.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let me tell you what's going to happen once they die. I'm staying alive.
Right, right.
Exactly.
Just
not
to be clear.
This one.
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah.
My mom said recently, she was like, out of nowhere, she goes, she like stared off into the distance. She's like, I think, you know, everyone might be a little gay. Like, you know, you always wonder, what if? And I was like, I don't think everyone's gay. I think it's like a spectrum. And she was like, I think everyone's a little gay.
I just had this conversation with a longtime friend of mine who's straight. And he was talking about how maybe he wanted to experiment. And I just thought it was interesting.
Absolutely. Please do.
What did your cousins say? And then I want to talk about cousins.
About what?
You being gay.
Coming out?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So my closest cousin, Vicky, I went up to her and I was like, I have to tell you something. You think you're gay? I was like, bitch, can I tell you?
Yeah.
Because she knew.
She knew. You think you're gay?
Right.
And I'm like, yeah.
Right. Give me my moment.
Exactly.
We were talking about how yesterday, like how in Italian or Latin families are just like, you know, like kind of like bigger families. Like, cousin.
Are you Italian and Latin?
I'm too? Puerto Rican and Puerto Rican.
Oh, Puerto Rican. Okay.
That's so funny. I'm Puerto Rican and Puerto Rican. But like how cousins are like essential to your life. They're the same age as you. They grow up with you and they're your siblings. And I still talk every single day. I talk to my cousins.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like this like huge. That's I think we're asking because Italians are very similar to Latin that way. Because
like, Italians are the only white people that talk about their cousins.
Yeah, that's but, yeah.
I talk about white as a motherfucker, but I do talk about my cousins. I don't know what loophole that is.
Basically, I was making the joke that Italians are the only white people that know how to cook.
Mm. Yeah. True. Yeah.
Right?
I'd say. I think so.
I don't know. If the French get really mad at that.
Yeah.
But then you were like, we were talking about French food. Like sauces and butter
bread.
And pastry and bread and.
It sounds pretty good.
Who can fuck up bread? Come on.
Well, the French actually, the French make probably the world's best bread.
The French bread. Yeah.
Like if you're in France.
Right. German food, not so great. Schnitzel?
No, I don't think countries that like are not known for their food, I would think their culinary food are like probably all countries in Europe besides France, Italy, and Greece.
Right. The Belgian waffle, I guess.
Belgian waffle's good. Well, like pastries and,
sure.
and chocolates are really good.
Once you put sugar in it.
Yeah.
Do you have any other gay cousins?
Yes, I do.
Nice.
That's nice.
Yes, one of my younger cousins, Jeremy, he's like my mini-me. Love him.
Do people ask you to do life coaching on them? Like, do you feel like when sometimes you're just talking to people at a party and they like start asking advice in a way where you're like, are you asking me as a professional or as just like a person at a party right now?
So like people don't usually ask for coaching, but if I'm just having a conversation with them, you know, and I'm casually giving my opinion or
you give good advice.
Yeah. They're like, are you life coaching me right now?
Right.
I'm like, actually not really. Mm. That's how I am. Mm. Which is why I fucking got into the job.
Totally.
You know, I've always been like the dad everywhere ever since I was like in grade school with my friends, you know, just I've got that mother loving energy, you know, so you know it just people think I'm coaching and I'm like I'm not, and then sometimes I want to coach them, I'm
right,
like, oh God, I want to ask this bitch
a question. You gotta pay for that.
But sometimes I'm like, yo, can I just do some free coaching on you real quick, you know? But
do you see the same like roadblocks like even like might seem like someone
patterns.
Has nothing in common, but then you see certain patterns, you're like, oh, these are the mental roadblocks that are like holding people back.
So like if there's like a common denominator, I would say it's there, whatever, everybody's conditioned and programmed in some sort of fear-based thinking.
Totally. I was gonna say fear
that
yeah.
fucks with them.
Right. I'm not good enough.
Exactly.
I don't deserve this.
I should.
That's interesting.
Anytime you use the word should, you're judging.
Like if it's like I should be going to the gym.
Yeah. You're saying right now it's not good enough.
Mm.
Whatever I'm doing is not good enough and it should be that. That's judgment.
It's my whole life.
Totally. That's why
I should be Mariah
Carey. Doing the doing those her workout classes, she starts having you do a mantra in the middle of it. Yeah. She'll be like, okay, well, you start thinking about you don't want to do this, knock it out and go, I'm the best, I'm the best, I'm the best, I'm the best. And at first I was like, are you kidding me? But now I'm like, I'm the best, I'm the best, I'm the best. Do you do mantras?
Hell to the fucking yeah. Yeah, I got a whiteboard that says shit. Oh, yes. You know?
I saw it yesterday.
I love a mantra.
What's your what would you say is your mantra? What's all of our mantras? Because
I'm just doing Stacia's one. I'm the best, I'm the best. And then she goes, every day I'm getting stronger. I'm totally paraphrasing it. But I'm the best, I guess. She's like, if you don't have your own, say I'm the best. Mm.
What about you?
I think it's I love New York.
Okay. Really?
Mm-hmm. Because I'm just so happy here. Mm. I love living in New York City. Everything happened, all my best friends, all my dreams, everything like I've wanted to do, like my liberation of my
she's
old
like, I
self.
I love my life,
like,
I love my life, I love my life.
I just like, and I'm like, oh yeah, it's just New York. Mm-hmm. Like I get excited to come home to New York.
Mm-hmm. What's yours?
I think my mantra would be, I'm good enough. Mm. I'm good enough as
yes,
I am.
Totally.
Because that covers the board on whatever the fuck's in front of me.
Yes.
You know, and whatever I may be thinking about the past or the future. Mm-hmm. You know, and then it throws the shit out the window. But going back to New York, isn't New York, when there's comfortable weather or the summertime or spring, like fucking magical?
Magical.
Nothing compares to yeah. it.
Agreed. Yes.
Even New York in the dead of winter, I'm happy with because okay. it's like
I
love
it in the nice.
I like what it offers me. Like I like that I can do comedy. I like that I have good friends. I like everything about the city. Yeah. But yeah, on a spring day, sure, like a beautiful 72 degree
best
day,
of all the world.
Flowers are coming out. It's fucking stunning. You feel the energy of everyone. Like it's like right. that scene in Wizard of Oz. Like come out wherever you are. All the Munchkins are
totally.
Coming out. It's like that. Ding yeah, dong, the witch
that.
Is dead.
I feel that totally.
Oh, yeah.
I feel that, especially because usually in New York, your apartment's really small. So, if you're like here for a I never understood why people would be here if they didn't need to be here for a reason. But like, because I'd be like, you want to be here because you have to be here for like something that you're doing. But now I see the reason can be New York, too.
Well, I think the city is definitely a city where people come to like
get stressed.
It's a specific city where it's like, it doesn't care about you.
Right.
And it makes no. It doesn't make any kind of attempt to try
right.
and coddle
care about you.
So you either make what you can out of it mm-hmm. and enjoy it, or you leave.
Right.
So that's why it's filled with a lot of people, not just native New Yorkers, but it's filled with a lot of people who are like, I came here for a very specific mm-hmm. reason.
New York doesn't have any favorites.
Yeah.
It treats everybody the same.
Yeah. I mean, it can be easier if you've got like money, but you'll lose it. Or it can be easier. There's certain things that can make it easier, but it'll kick it out of you.
Oh, yeah. It'll humble the fuck out of
yes,
you.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Where can people...
I was going to say the same thing.
Where can people find all your stuff online and how can they get in touch with you if you're taking on new clients?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. IG, SacredSteve_, TikTok, SacredSteve_, Voicy, SacredSteve. Voicy.
Ooh, I've never heard of that.
What the hell's Voicy?
Voicy, oh my God, it's my fucking new favorite app.
Tell me.
It's great for singer-songwriters. And producers. So producers upload their original beats and you can make a profile where you can hop on a beat and write an original song.
Oh, that's cool. And then it's like,
can
say
I just do whistle tones?
You can do whatever the fuck you want.
And I can just listen to it?
Yeah. I've got a bunch of songs on there that I've written because of Voicy. And
cool.
It's sweet.
That's a great way to like listen. Because I would like listening to stuff on TikTok before it like would pop off.
Yeah.
And cool. I'll check that out. Thank you.
Thanks so much for coming on. This is so wonderful. No it's a problem. Nice
it's a
way
treat.
To bring you on after all these years of hanging out with each other. And
yeah.
We'll have you on next time to talk about X-Men.
Ooh, hell yes. Yeah. Let's talk about whatever. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you,
I loved
Steve.
It.
Thank you.
Star Bands Audio, a podcast network.